Dan Horror with your host, the Mighty Griff.
Hey everybody, it is once again Saturday, which makes this more horror than horror, and you are listening to us on Saturday, Savage Saturdays. I am your host, the Mighty Griff. Joining me as always is Tim McClaws.
Hola.
And the man in the box is Mr. Todd Sheets.
I'm in the box.
Oh.
What's in the box?
I'm in the box.
You know, I'm actually in a pretty good mood this weekend. For one, my tooth isn't bothering me.
For two, your chops are taking out half the neighborhood, man. Jesus.
I seen him take out two kids on the way up
here. I think so. It's almost like a Godzilla movie with those chops. Oh, he's so like Gamera.
So,
Griffzilla.
To start off the show, do we want the good news first, or do we want bad news first?
I'll give us a bad.
Let's go bad, man. Okay. That's always an awesome way to start things off.
The bad news.
We're frozen in.
I have officially severed my ties with the once glorious Hastings video store in St. Joseph, Missouri.
You were just there.
For the final time. Mr. Sheets,
we were there 2 hours ago.
I was going to say, and he just told me.
I wasn't there 2 hours ago at Hastings, you ass.
If you were, you better be picking me up some movie.
Anyway, visiting three times in the last week and a half, there has been no movement in the horror or sci-fi sections. There has been no movement in the international film section. Nothing coming in, nothing going out. Anyway, the final straw was drawn when a friend of mine asked for me to call them and order him a copy of Humanoids from the Deep, which has been out all of maybe, 4 months on due release from Shout Factory. The reply from the person at the Hastings phone was, well, that movie's been discontinued. It's no longer in our system. We can't get it anymore. Well, it's only been out for 4 months. It should still be in your system. No, it says right here it's been discontinued.
You should have asked them which version it was, and they'd have came back with your New Horizons.
That I asked them, and they said that it was the New Horizons version. And I said, well, is there one enlisted under Shout Factory? Well, it doesn't give us that information. Well, you just told me that the version that you don't carry anymore is the New Horizons version. Now, if it told you that version was no longer continued, then the new version should be in there, and you should be able to tell me who makes it. No, there's nothing in our system.
They're full of crap. They don't know what they're doing.
So I proceeded to call and tell a buddy of mine. I said, hey, just bring your credit card over. We'll go to Shout Factory. We'll order it offline. Okay. We placed the order. It's confirmed. It's shipped. He got it on Wednesday. Plain and simple. Done. He's happy. I'm happy.
Didn't have to spend $4 a gallon on gas to drive up
there. The other thing is, I'm sold. I know it's been out forever, but I'm sold on Amazon. I mean, I've gotten 15 DVDs in the last 2 weeks and have spent maybe $43 at most, because I'm picking them up for $2, $3. Sometimes I'm getting more spent on the shipping and handling than I am for the actual DVD.
And it's like Christmas every time you open the mailbox.
I ordered a copy of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Blu-ray because nobody, I mean, you can't find it even used. So I found a used copy on eBay.
Oh, you could get the new one. Remember what I said about that? Yeah.
So anyway, I contacted the seller. I think they had it for like $3. And I was like, $3, I'll buy it. So anyway, it got it in the mail yesterday. I opened it up and it was shrink wrapped. So the invoice comes with it. So I contacted the guy. I said, hey, I said, you guys must have sent me a new copy by mistake. His reply on the phone was, well, we had misplaced the used copy that we were had for sale, and that one hadn't been posted yet, so we just went ahead and threw you the new one since we couldn't find the used one. So don't worry about the extra anything. Just go ahead and take it.
That happens all the time to you at Hastings, doesn't it? Where they just...
No.
It was where we were going to make it new.
By the way, that's a beautiful Blu-ray. That's a gorgeous
print. And that was actually one of the ones that I really wanted to see, you know, comparison. But anyway, like I said, I also said that I would never buy any Blu-rays, but now my collection has grown from
full-blown addict.
I'm up to 13 as of
36
today.
By tomorrow morning.
And I just purchased the Grindhouse Blu-rays.
Good.
I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, that is the sad news. So Hastings, I do love you. You've given me plenty of good finds and treasures, and
we'll go back up around Halloween and see what they got.
But as for right now, my new girlfriend is Amazon.com, and I visit her often, and she has put many a smiles on my face.
She puts out hourly.
Some of the movies I purchased off of Amazon, I got Primutos, The Lord of the Living Dead, for Mr. Olaf Ichbach. It's a German film. It's $3 used. I paid for it, but it's just a splatter film. It's really nothing.
Great effects, but the storyline is poop.
And that's pretty much, I knew that going in because I had seen.
Sometimes you need that in your life.
Yeah.
No story, just a lot of gore.
If you go to YouTube and you type in Olaf Ichbach, it'll pull up pretty much everything that you really need to see in his movies.
I want to know why the hell they released that one house movie. What was it called? House of Blood. That would have been a good movie, actually, had they not cut the hell out of it. Lionsgate, in their wisdom, bought it. Right. And why do they buy these movies if they're just going to butcher them?
Well, I think a lot of it is
leave it for someone else to buy.
They probably bought it for cheap and just, I don't know why they cut it, but
they're assholes. You know, they're assholes. They do that all the time.
But I was getting ready to discuss this with Tim in the car, but I decided to hold it for the show. And I'll go back around and we'll discuss it. But anyway, I bought Zombie Doom, which is I think it's the second or the third film in the violent shit quadro trilogy or whatever. And that's from Andrzej Sznajs, I think.
Sznajs.
And again, it's just another. His special effects aren't as good as Olaf's, but entertaining just the least. But
did you go up to Sam's Club and get you a 50-gallon drum of sauerkraut and a bunch of brats while you're eating all
this
German
Sam's
shit?
No, but Sam's Club was the first. Sam's Club was actually the first place that I bought my first Blu-ray from, and I bought the Last Exorcism.
There you go.
On Blu-ray.
Jeez.
Just because.
Coaster. Quiet Todd.
But
Coaster.
Just, quiet but just, Todd. Just because I got the Blu-ray version. I got the DVD version, and I got a digital copy version.
Oh, good. Three.
For $20.
You got three coasters.
Hey, that's an economic savings. You're getting three,
you are.
Three versions.
We can all have a drink.
But I like that movie. And I heard a review off of the Dread Central podcast I was listening to at work. Said the exact same thing that I said about it when I watched it. It reminded me of the 70s Satan films, like, you know, Race with the Devil had that complete total.
Well, except for those guys knew how to make a movie. They could they could actually sit behind a real camera instead of a damn camcorder.
It was good.
And they could, like, do lighting. Hey.
Look.
Just shut your role. Hey.
You, like, let me in. Be quiet.
Hold on a minute here. Let me tell you something.
Goddamn culture club.
You know what? At least Let Me In had a goddamn camera operator that knew how to operate a 35 millimeter camera.
You know what Let Me In had?
They had dollies.
A guy that knew how to toss fucking fake snow around for 55 minutes.
That's kind of true, too.
But anyway, I picked up Red Baron.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of like the Bastards.
I love that shit.
You know, they had two of those down at Half Price Books yesterday, and I was down there. They had the series.
How much are they?
Oh, they weren't much. I think they were maybe like $15.
You can get the whole series for eight.
I got mine for three. Three on Amazon, baby.
Yeah.
And it's the Echo Bridge version, the ones that you can pick up out of Half Price Books is usually from Echo Bridge, because I think they pretty much just went in and bought everything that BCI had and just went through and just printed up new slide cases for them and just put them back out in the market. But Red Baron to me is kind of like the bastard redheaded stepchild of the whole Japanese big monster movies, because there's really not a much of imagination. There's no real monsters. It's just battling robots, you know.
It's kind of a takeoff of Giant Robot Johnny Sacco. But, you know, you can get Ultraman for $6 like that, whole series. Yeah. That's a great series. Good monsters.
And you can get Iron King.
Yeah, I got that too.
You know.
Yep.
But I'd had my eye on it for a while and finally decided to find it.
For $3, you might as well, dude.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The Boneyard.
Great one.
With Phyllis Diller.
Can't go wrong.
And Norman. Was it Fell from?
It's got the big giant Norman,
from Mr. Roper from Three's Company with the crazy giant.
It's got the coolest poodle ever.
And of course, Phyllis Diller wigs out there at the end.
That was awesome.
She got the big bug eyes.
That's a great. You know, that's imaginative. It's original. Yeah. I really enjoyed that movie. And your main heroine is not like some bimbo either. It's like some older lady that's like all like overweight and crazy.
Fat, overweight, and smoking, psychic. You know,
she's all mad and cussing at everybody. She's a great hero.
And packed full of extras. I mean, just all kinds of
Is that Blu-ray?
Interviews. No, it's just Lucky 13, Cult Collectibles, Zia. I think it's Zia Films or Zia DVD is the company that put it out.
But yeah, it's gone. It's out of print pretty much. Right,
but
grab it when you
can. If you go to their website, their website's still up.
Yeah.
But the Boneyard and Slaughterhouse are the only two horror films that are listed on this website, and they're both titled with the moniker Lucky 13 Cult Collectibles. But awesome.
And you got Slaughterhouse for what, $3?
I got them both for like $3.
Yeah, there you go.
And like I said, the shipping was $2. You know, and on those, I ordered them on a Monday evening, and the last movie of that, I think I ordered 8. I think the last movie showed up Saturday. So, I mean, you're talking, what, 5 days?
Yeah.
You know, and that's two and a half months.
If you stagger them out, man, you get one every damn day.
You know, and, you know, coming to the next movie I ordered was Slaughterhouse, which is every bit of my top 20 list. That movie is just amazing on every level. But then another Orloff movie I ordered was called The Haunting of Rebecca Verlaine.
That was actually pretty good.
It's a later film. Which is the story's a little bit more sturdy than his earlier stuff. But again, I picked it up. You know, I went to IMDb and wrote his name down and tried to get any movie that he had either directed or did the special effects on, just because of the splatter factor. It was pretty entertaining. A lot of headshots. He likes the headshots. But that was pretty much it. I did receive my screening copy of The Walking Dead on Blu-ray, and it is
Anchor Bay is putting all that out, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is packed, loaded with extras, and bravos to AMC and Anchor Bay, because for the first time that I've ever received any screening material, I actually received a press book.
Wow.
And it folded open, and it gives a full description on each character. You know, not nothing in length, but just half a paragraph on each person. Then you open it up again, and it shows, you know, the whole kind of backdrop of, you know, Atlanta and stuff. But I thought it was cool, you know. And when it came in the mail, it was in a big vanilla, you know, padded envelope.
Right.
But they had taken a sneaker and put red ink on it and walked across it like somebody had trampled on it trying to get away and left blood prints on it. And I thought it was pretty ingenious, you know, that it was the first time that I actually got a package to where they tried to connect everything together and you wasn't just receiving a random package in the mail, you know. And then also, like we had discussed, obviously one of the websites I ran across, which I'm sure Todd knows about it, is just simply Blu-ray.com. I don't know if a lot of people, I'm sure, know about it. Like I said, it's new to me, but anything you want to know, release dates, you know,
it's pretty cool.
Contact, you know, information on what the DVD contains, how many discs is in it with special features. It's all listed on there. Upcoming releases, stuff that's out. It's all broken down by genre, so you don't have to search, you know. And another cool site that I brought up with you is joeblow.com. Yeah. And if you want to go to the horror side of that, just type in joeblow.com/ and then type in @ and hit enter, and it takes you to the horror side. But
he's been around a long time. I remember it. He's got some pretty comical reviews.
But then again, that was pretty entertaining. I went to a website called tlacult.com, and this is where it gets really hairy really quick. You know of, you know, like we've discussed in the past, they got, what was it, Nucleus Films did the Video Nasties release in Europe. I don't know if a lot of people are familiar with a company out of England called Arrow Films, but if you are, or if you aren't, do a Google search on Arrow Films. Arrow Films is a DVD production company, and I don't know if they just license and then print their own, but they have some of the most amazing releases on horror films I've ever seen. All of their movies come with like 3 or 4 alternate covers. And what they do is they take like the for City of the Living Dead, they released it. If you've ever seen the cover of City of the Living Dead, there's like a zombie head coming up out and there's like 3 tombstones behind him. Mm-hmm. Well, they had actually released their Blu-ray in a sculpted model of this zombie head. And the DVD inside had like the Japanese poster art, it had the Italian poster art, it had the European poster art, it had the American poster art. Plus, they all come with lobby cards, you know, these little postcards. Most, every horror title that I seen was at least 2 discs. I never seen a single disc version of anything. But they've got some of the Fulci stuff already on Blu-ray over there. And I actually spoke with a guy who lives over there in England. He's been collecting some of the stuff. But some of the boxes that are released on the Europe in the European market just completely make our shit look stupid. I mean, it's just, it's not even a comparison of night and day. I mean, just the artwork is so much better. The boxes, you know, instead of, I thought they were books, you know, they basically bind their DVDs in like, they look like books, you know, they have like a cardboard, you know, a rounded edge, right, a spine, with the hard plastic, you know, and it's just like this really, really neat packaging. So I've been going into all these European DVD manufacturers, and you know, if you search it out, you know, you can usually find it. But just some of the stuff, even if it's not horror related, just to see the designs on some of these DVD releases, just is crazy. And you know, the prices maybe are $10 to $12 higher than what I would pay. But I don't know, are Blu-rays region-free, or are they?
It's it just depends on, like, I know all the stuff from Asia is playable here. Okay. I think there's, like, 3 regions in Blu-ray, just 3. No, but I mean, 3.
If you was to buy just a general Blu-ray player here, are they region-free players, or have they coded those also?
They're all coded, but you can play, like I say, there's the, like, they only divided the world into thirds this time instead of like 12 different zones. Okay. So you can play, you know, a lot of stuff. I'm not sure though about the British imports. Those may actually not be compatible. You may check on that. But I know that the stuff from Asia, all of that is.
Do they have the region-free DVD players, Blu-ray?
Oh, I have the region-free DVD, but I can't find a region-free Blu-ray yet, unless there's one that's been
hacked. And I'm sure if you went on the internet right now with like the DVD players, I'm sure there's probably somebody that's even posted codes that you could get in there and bring them down to a 0 region.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do some searching just around here. I mean, I'm not above and beyond ordering from overseas. It's just with customs nowadays, you know, I don't want to spend, you know, because I'm pretty much anal when it comes to, you know, the way that my movies are, you know, brought to me. But I'd much rather, if I could find it here in the United States and have it a week, I'd much rather go that route than ordering it overseas. But if I can't get it, then I'll go overseas to get it that way.
Well, give me a chunk of money and I'll load you up in June.
Hey, I'm thinking about going that route. But some more pretty good news I found out. Me and Todd was discussing this earlier before the show. September 27th, 2011, all you Star Wars geeks need to mark your calendars, because that is going to be the official release day for Star Wars, the Blu-ray complete series. All six films in one location, one price.
And one helmet.
And supposedly it's going to be released in Mr. Darth Vader's helmet. So that was a nice added surprise, and I will definitely be putting that on my Christmas list.
The Asians are going to have the Jar Jar Binks head.
Yeah.
Hell, the Asians will have something awesome. It'll come with two lightsabers and a whole friggin'... It'll come in its own damn land speeder. What are you talking about?
No, they'll put all the films in the Death Star, and it'll be light sweet. Up.
Hell yeah!
You know,
have a little X-wing circling around it. Yeah, they get all the great shit, man. I swear you, everything. It just boggles your mind.
And for the latest update and the greatest update, I saved the best for last. March 23rd, 2014 and 12. The one and the only.
Spit it out, fool.
Popcorn will be re-released on DVD, baby.
And when? On the 12th? 2012?
From what they're saying, 2012.
What the hell does it take so long to put that out?
Well, they're working on a documentary. Supposedly.
They're going all out, Todd.
By then, DVD won't even hardly be around. It'll be a mess.
It'll be Blu-ray. It's
going to be released complete with a retrospective documentary as well as new artwork done by Jeff Zornow.
I love Zornow, man, but nothing tops the original artwork. They shouldn't have touched it.
They can't. If Jeff Zornow would have went in and physically redrawn the original poster art.
I don't even know
art,
if I would have liked that, man. Leave it just like it is.
It would have been a lot better than exposing the killer on the front of the DVD. Right. That was the whole best part of the movie, was finally getting to see what he looked like at the end of the film.
And that's one of my all-time favorite covers. That's just perfect.
It's just, well, let's just draw him and put him right on the front of the DVD cover so you automatically know, you know, what he's going to look like. You know, it kind of takes...
Yeah, that didn't make any sense at all.
You know, but, you know, I like Zornow's artwork, so I'm not taking anything away from him. I just think that that's kind of a bad decision. And then it could change. I mean, they could...
I got to tell you, though, in all honesty, I don't think DVDs go anywhere, because I was, you know, looking at the stats and talking to a lot of people, and Blu-ray is more for connoisseurs of film, and that's the thing that's got me right now, is because they're putting crap out like Friday After Next. They're putting Are We There Yet? Anything that's like an urban piece of shit comedy is getting put on Blu-ray, when really it is for movies that are more visually stunning. I mean, really, why is the WWE stuff on Blu-ray? It's shot on a damn video camera. Blair Witch Project, really? Come on.
But it's simple double dipping. I mean, they know
money in
they're going to have
baby.
The hardcore fans for that. And
money
you
in
know.
The bank.
I don't know, but I tell you what, the Blu-ray of Blair Witch I compared to the DVD just because I borrowed it to see. And I can tell you that the DVD actually looks better.
In some instances, the DVDs do look better.
It was
than
like,
the
damn it! It's so just because the damn thing was shot on high eight and got rid of that grain.
You guys hurry up and buy all the Blu-rays, and then you tell me which ones are worth buying on Blu-ray.
But anyway, if
New York Ripper.
If anybody's interested in popcorn, you can check out the official.
You can
website.
Go buy some at the grocery store.
And it's www.popcorndoc.
You can go to the movie theater and get your whole bunch.
But
and what are we going to see tomorrow? What's coming up?
Tomorrow night's Gone with the Pope.
Gone with the Pope.
At the Screenland Theater Washington Street.
Looks like a Brillo pad.
That's a great movie, guys. Sammy Petrillo or whatever his name was. Yeah.
Don Mitchell.
It's a great one. It's got a great trailer. I'll give it that.
The trailer's very entertaining.
The movie's entertaining.
One review I didn't get, to, other than watching the Olaf stuff pretty much all week, and then earlier in the week when we sat down and cackled at one another on the phone over watching Flesh for Frankenstein.
Oh, God, yes. Udo.
Udo.
What a great movie.
Udo. You filthy.
It'd been so, you know, I
filthy,
had that. And
dirty
I had it, and
woman.
I'd watched it, and it'd been, I couldn't tell you the last time I watched it, and I sat and was just. Like I said, we were cackling the whole way through that, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I picked it up I don't have the Criterion version. I am going to have to break down and buy the Criterion version just to have it for the extras. And
it
stuff.
Is good. I'm kind of wondering why. And speaking of Blu-ray, that would be an actually pretty good one
because yeah, the that picture. Would.
It has got some good quality and a lot of atmosphere, and they've been re-releasing all that stuff. Like all matter of fact, I just got done getting some Kurosawa from the Criterion Collection. Hell, it's better than that damn Bottle Rocket. Why the hell is that on Criterion? Bottle Rocket's okay compared to the Darjeeling Limited. Really? Criterion Collection, guys? Really?
Do they have the Friday Criterion Collection?
If they do, I'm going to piss all over it. I'm just going to pull out my junk and piss.
But anyway, that Flesh for Frankenstein. Like I said, the Andy Warhol's Dracula was good, but it was, and
they were both on Instant Watch, Netflix.
But the Frankenstein is just so much higher than the Dracula because it's just the for one, you got the brother and sister thing, and they're fucking kids.
Yeah.
Are running around, so you know that's a product of fucking inbreeding right off the bat. And one, he's kind of a eccentric closet gay who basically falls in love with his creation and actually has more of a desire aimed towards the male Frankenstein than the female monster. And then you've got his sister who's just appalled that she finds two people making love on her property, but then pretty much eye rapes the guy in front of the kids, you know, and the kids are always peering over the corner as she's in bed with somebody and they're all just looking at one another. And
if there was ever a behind the scenes documentary on a movie, you imagine the debauchery that was going on that. There was probably just mountains of cocaine just everywhere.
But not so much, you know, the infamous part of him laying on top of the female monster and you know, the whole...
Touch me.
That's my pancreas. The whole fucking of the gallbladder terminology, to me, is kind of foul and creep. You know, it adds a creep factor to it. But nothing is creepy.
But it works so well.
At the end, at the climactic end, where the body count, all these fucking bodies are piled up on the middle of the laboratory floor, and the
hand gets lopped off in the gate.
Well, he's hanging from this fucking pole, right? Or the rope. And everybody's pretty much dead at his feet. The female monster's dead. The male monster's dead. The wife's dead. The hunchback's dead. And Dr. Frankenstein's dead. So you have the prisoner and the two little kids. So you know the kids aren't going anywhere. And they only know what they've been taught. So, you know, they're a product of a brother and sister. So you know this whole fucking nucleus is getting ready to expand again the same exact way. And of all the
god-awful sequels that we've had to sit through, why wasn't there a sequel to that?
You know, but you couldn't top it. You know, if you could do, you know.
Udo's rapidly moving up my
list. Well, you guys know that was Aristide Massacesi that directed that. Joe D'Amato, most of it. He directed it. Even though there's been debate for years, if you really watch the movie, it feels like a Joe D'Amato movie more than it does, you know, anything previous, because Paul Morrissey did something,
right?
But I'm not sure. Of course, he argues to this day, you know, especially since poor Joe D'Amato died, that you know, now more than ever, he's like, oh no, he didn't do anything, but he had to do something, or else, you know, why would he be credited all over Italy and everywhere else? You know,
it was a fun movie.
I would never really use the word fun, but you're right, I loved it.
It was fun. It was entertaining. It was.
Udo took that role and ran with it.
But did you guys know that I actually saw that sucker in theaters in 3D?
Yeah. One of the guys I worked with seen it when it was released in the theaters back in the in the 70s when it was released.
So it actually got a massive release.
Yeah. It was actually played, apparently played with one of the theaters.
I wonder what the reaction
here in Kansas City. He remembers, I think he told me that they were out drinking, seen the ad in the paper that it was showing down the street, so they went and got some acid, did the acid, and then sit through this thing. And it was. He said, yeah, he goes, it was a complete mind trip, you know. But to us, it's entertaining. Now, if you was just Joe Schmo that just happened to pick it up and throw it in.
How many people were fans of, you know, of the Universal Frankenstein went to see it for the classic moments?
Passed
and
out.
And all of a sudden, we got incest and crazy German doctors humping dead corpses.
But yeah, that, you know. And the funny thing was, you had watched it. I mean, you obviously had started watching it, you know, 10 or 15 minutes before I did. And I wasn't doing nothing. I think I was sitting there listening to Stern or something on my computer. And I was like, oh, really? I'll check this out. And I just happened to start it, not thinking that I was going to finish it. I wasn't really in the mood to watch a movie. But, you know, halfway through, you know, quarter of the way through, I call you up. And we're cackling about shit. And next thing you know, it's like three quarters of the way in, and I'm watching it. And I'm just like, fuck, I watched it again. I was like, you know. And I've got them both on DVD. But I found... And I don't think I paid anything exorbitantly amount. I think you can get like the regular version. I think I paid like $7 for it once. Yeah. And I think I picked up the Dracula version for like 10.
Well, Udo's getting up there in age, man. They need to do a documentary on him. I'll just follow him around with a camera. That guy's got to be just a character.
But yeah, it was quite entertaining. I enjoyed it. It's one of those movies that you don't want to watch it too much, but when it does, you know, rear its ugly head, you kind of
that to me. That would be a total midnight movie like Rocky Horror. I could go to that.
Well, that's probably pretty much what it was. It was a midnight movie.
Yeah.
It played midnights a lot. Yeah.
You know, that's where it found its audience. Its niche audience was in that midnight realm. You know, but like I said, I think from the success of that Frankenstein movie, that's what kind of shot the whole production of the Dracula film. And I don't think that – I think in the haste to make the Dracula film, I think they kind of lost.
They lost
a lot of it. Yeah, it wasn't as entertaining. And I think they tried to subdue Udo a little bit, you know, and just didn't kind of let him rant and rave. Because the Dracula character anyway at the time, you didn't have vampire – I mean, you know, Dracula was pretty much – everything was based off of Bela Lugosi. You know, you had the whole typical black, you know, and it – Dracula hadn't kind of spawned in that subgenre of just vampire, you know, they hadn't gotten to just the evil vampire. So he had to kind of keep the charisma and, you know, he kind of had to keep the whole Christopher Lee, you know, kind of thing going. But
like I said, Christopher Lee's it. They're trying to put these new smut kids out and they've done fucked up the whole Dracula.
And Christopher vampire. Lee by far. I mean, Christopher Lee rolled out on the screen, and, I mean, it just didn't care if you were male or female, you were getting bit, you know, to where the Lugosi was more the seductive, you know, in the shadows, you know, only looking at the women, more seductive. Christopher Lee just didn't care. It was just full-on carnage, you know. But another movie I did watch, Guilty Pleasure, Sharktopus, Mr. Roger Corman, watched the Blu-ray. A lot of CGI, but entertaining CGI. It was entertaining. I liked it, but of course, I liked the crazy CGI over the top monster movies. The only thing I haven't seen the DVD version. I just, like I said, I got the Blu-ray version. I watched it 3 or 4 times throughout the Blu-ray version. It looks like they shot the fucking movie through a screen door. I don't know if it was just shot on a regular process, and they digitized it into Blu-ray. And I don't know if that was a reaction of that process to where, I mean, it basically looked like somebody threw a handful of fucking pepper on the screen, and you were looking through a screen door on the action that was going on. I was surprised that with it being not rated, that there was no nudity in it. And I'm not saying that it really needed to be, but for one, it was a beach movie, you know, resorts, you know, and it was set in Mexico. And not one side boob, not one frontal breast shot, which, you know, it wasn't. But I just thought
it goes to prove they don't know what the hell they're doing anymore. Stop.
But
not even
a
CGI side.
You know, but I'm thinking, and even jeez, and even you know, not rated. I'm thinking, you know, well, this was on the Sci-Fi Channel, you know, and I'm thinking, well, if this gets released on DVD, it's going to be unrated, you know, or whatever. So it's going to be, you know, really great on the gore. There was really not a lot of blood in it, and if it did happen, it was so quick. and like I said, it was CGI blood, that it really didn't stick focus it in their on ass. Anything.
Stick it.
Now, the only part that was kind of actually gross or kind of gory was at the end when Eric Roberts' character died. There was, I mean, it was actually real looking because of the way it smeared on the railing and, and the way it laid on the ground and his throat and stuff. It actually did look like real blood, so I have to give, you know, props to that. But it was fun. They kind of, they didn't really lock down the size of the monster. It kind of fluctuated on the size. There's one scene where the tentacles come up from like both sides of this big, you know, like multi-million dollar yacht. And then the head comes up out of the water and smashes through the middle of the yacht. So you're thinking, you know, this thing's got to be the size of at least two football fields. But later on in the movie, they're like in a two engine outboard boat cruising down, you know, on the, in the ocean, you know, trying to track it down. And it, you know, six people on this boat would be four too many. And it comes up to the side of the boat and the head is about the size of a 55 gallon drum, you know, and you're thinking, well, how did you go to being like this multi-ton creature to, you know, basically being the size of something you could catch on a fishing rod, you know? So they kind of lost the
catfish, you know, in one of the Missouri River.
it was kind of like, really, I think you're not kind of, you know. And there's one scene where, you know, they got the aerial view and you look out and you can see the shadow under the water moving and the thing's, you know, enormous. Or or like there's a scene where they're like in the resort and they're up in the bungee lift. And the woman's like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't want a bungee, you know. And the guy's like, oh, just try it. You'll like it. So she jumps and she comes back up and she goes, oh, that was fun. Clap, clap. I want to do it again. He's like, really? Okay, yeah, go. So about that time, she fucking dives off of this thing. She goes down. She snaps back up. Second time heading back down towards the water on the recoil, the fucking thing comes up out of the water and just snatches her off the top, you know. So again, you're looking at it thinking, this thing's fucking huge. And then again, later on, you're like, it don't look any bigger than any other shark that's been, you know, pulled out.
You know what? But I got Mega Piranha on Blu-ray, though.
Now, that's a big
They have a bunch of them up here at this Best Buy for $5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know you love that movie.
It's good.
At least that movie's entertaining.
But they're all entertaining.
I get mad. That stuff like that one that you guys told me to watch, God, I can't remember which one it was, but it was awful. About a shark.
Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus?
I don't know. That might have been it. It was so... The CGI is so bad. I can't get over it.
But that's what makes it so beautiful.
I can't do it.
That's a fucking popcorn movie. You know it's going to be shitty.
I throw my popcorn at it because it sucks.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do to those movies.
No, they're supposed to be... I want a guy in a rubber suit.
No.
Yeah.
Well, then go watch Godzilla again. If
you will.
Red Baron. Suit. You'll get lots of latex suits and Red
Baron. I love that show. See, I love Ultraman for all the monster battles. And at least, you know what? Even Ultraman, even now, see, the Japanese are smart enough to know that's what people want. So even though they'll enhance things with CGI, they still have the son of a bitch in a rubber suit.
Speaking of the good special effects, it's handmade. I don't know if you guys have seen the Face-Off on Sci-Fi. Have you checked any of those out with the next? It's great, man. Nicotero was on there on the last episode I seen where they were doing special effects. It's the next batch coming up, man. There's some good talented artists.
Tim, God dang it, you done fucked up your microphone again. Turn that sumbitch right and put the damn light towards your face.
What?
God damn, you did that last week and it never sounded right. What? Turn that there. That's how you're supposed to
and
sound.
And I got to lean forward and shit's crackling.
God, no wonder I got to keep turning you up.
But it's you know, I love, you know, I going into it, I know what I'm expected and I know what I'm getting. You know, it's a fucking asylum movie. It's a sci-fi movie. I know it's going to be crappy CGI, but that's what you like. That's why I watch.
That might be what you like. I don't like CGI. I'm tired of it. I'm not the only one.
Well, that's why you don't watch it.
God damn. I can't believe Tim likes that shit. It's hard to believe.
I'm just all about the big bugs and monsters.
I love big bugs and monsters.
I agree. I'd love it if they were all rubber suits. I'd love all that.
You watch fucking Shark Attack 3, Megalodon. And you'll think fucking Asylum. You think the Asylum's fucking Oscar contending. You watch the special effects in that piece of shit. But, I mean, again, that movie's awesome. You know,
it's not awesome.
It's just, you know, you watch that big fucking shark come up and swallow that guy on that jet ski, and you're sitting there thinking, did I just fucking see what I seen? I seen that fucking same shark on Jacques Cousteau's Underwater Kingdom.
Well, how is it? The Host was CGI, and that was great.
Yeah, but that was different. You know, it's well, like Cloverfield, they did a pretty decent job with their CGI, but it just depends on the project. You know?
I love it. I mean, it's a guilty pleasure. I mean, you know, it's just, you know.
Yeah, but Cloverfield had that shaky makes me want to throw up thing. That's did, why I like the sci-fi. It's so cheesy. It's so fake. I don't get sick.
Yeah, but let's look at this, though, about Cloverfield. It did have too much shaky cam, but they had to match that shit. They had to match that shaky cam shit with all the stuff they had to put in, the whole broken down city stuff. Hey, man, give him some credit for that.
That guy done fucked up one of my favorite movies of all time. He's dead to me.
Who? What movie?
That ass clown fucked up Let Me In.
Well, you know, it depends on who you ask. Dead. Some people like that damn movie. I for me,
Culture Club, dude.
For me, it seemed like it didn't need to
Whoever fucking put Culture Club in that, I wish I could get a hold of and I'd club them for 45 minutes.
To me,
you're going to talk about squirting up the tree like a fucking squirrel? Fact, come on. Those attack scenes, they fucked up every attack scene in that movie.
Did I say I like the attack scenes? How God, come you're putting horrible. Words in my mouth? Hold on, we got to turn Tim down for a minute. God damn it, Tim, listen.
One of the greatest finales. He's
foaming at the mouth.
I've been waiting all week because I finally fucking thought my brain was going to be able to wrap around this great new envisioning bullshit that they were coming up with this movie, and they fucked it up from the first 5 minutes, and then they fuck it up the whole way through, and then they take
that one bouncing of the ball thing they were doing with her where she's bouncing all over the walls.
And
that
finale, man, it was so subtle and just smooth the way at the end, man. That swimming pool scene, the first time I watched that, man, it just gave me fucking goosebumps. And then they got to fucking Americanize it and turn it into this huge fiasco. There's shit flying around everywhere. There's fucking heads flying, shit flying everywhere. They took every bit of subtlety out of it. Me and Griff talked about that the whole time. You're going to take one of the greatest elements of the original, of how cold and bleak and nasty it is.
You know,
and there's not a fucking, you can't see one breath cloud. It's not cold. I don't believe any of that shit.
Well, yeah, but you got to also say, real quickly, that's one of those things that needs to go on the list of movies that really never should have been remade. You know, right. It's
well, the thing. Yeah, but what irritates me is I read numerous reviews of people that I usually agree with that said that this version was better than the original. And I don't see how anyone could have thought that.
The whole problem that I, the one main thing that I had a problem with is, for one, you have this kid who is isolated. I mean, he has no friends. He's an outcast. His parents obviously don't have a lot of money. You can tell by the furnishings in the original apartment. When it goes into his room, he pretty much has to create his own entertainment, you know, because he doesn't have anything. The winter, I mean, the isolation and the feeling of the despair of the cold is a character upon itself. I mean, you can just,
and they completely took that out of this
from the original one. You can just feel how fucking miserable a daily existence for this kid. He wakes up, he goes to school, he's tormented, and he's got to go fucking swim, and then he's got to walk through this fucking ice box to go back home to live in this shitty apartment. What happens in the original? The fucking kid has got a fucking telescope. His fucking room's packed full of toys. He's got every fucking thing you can think of. You know, life's great. Oh, I'm going to go sit out, you know, 1.3 seconds into the fucking movie, you can tell that the snow's fake because there's no depth. There's no distress in the snow. I mean, you can tell by the way it's laying on the ground that it's, you know, right out of the fucking bag onto the ground. And it's just, to me, you just erase the main portion of the movie that establishes the entire feel of the movie. And it's just that fucking isolation of being lost. But
I would have believed it more if that would have been CGI snow.
You know.
Well, and in the original also, they kind of made it clear that the chick in the original movie, the teenage girl, was actually really a teenage boy, and they really kind of got rid of that whole thing in the American version because you can't have anything like
that's
that.
That's what I mean. When he started comparing it to how much he loved Twilight and going on about it, I just knew he was going to fuck it up. And the more I started believing, man, I started drinking the Kool-Aid. Oh, I've read the book, and I'm going to be more faithful to the book. And the only thing he did more was have the detective that was following the story. Either one of them didn't want to touch any of the crews. There are so many great moments in the books that I was just keeping my fingers crossed.
Well, the kid had a friend in the books. Griff was saying he was isolated in the movies, but in the books he had a friend that was attacked.
The older kid. Yeah, the older kids that were.
But I mean, when you watch the original Let the Right One In, there's nobody in their right fucking mind that would trade places with that kid. Who in the hell would want to live life in that town? I mean, sure, I'm sure it's, you know, nothing like what it was portrayed in the movie, but I'm sitting there thinking, like, what a miserable place to be born in. You know, I mean, I'd much rather, you know, and with the remake, it was like any apartment complex that you would, you know, in any random city you pull in the wintertime, it's, well, you know, it could be here, it could be there, it could, you know, be anywhere.
The only thing, only two things I took out of that whole movie was, thank God they didn't put the shitty CGI cats in it.
Yep.
And the fire scene in the hospital room was great. They did a great job on that. But nothing else at all.
You know, and
in the book, the dude fell out the window, turns into a zombie, starts going around getting crazy with a hard on.
Yeah, he's got the hard on the whole way through, and he never dies. And he's one. I mean, that's it. And then there's the scene in the book with his older friend gets trapped in the closet with that guy.
Yeah, that evil bastard.
And I mean, it's the most just. I mean, even reading it, man, you're just on the edge of the seat. It's just fucked up on how scared this kid is. And I don't see how hard it would have been. I mean, granted, they would have had to totally change the whole storyline and brought the guy back to life.
Well, and they made it. But they cut out the whole fact that guy was a pedophile.
Exactly.
Right. You know, they had to keep that out of there.
Yeah, he was a dirty, nasty son of a bitch in the book, man.
Yep. But even in movies like, you know, even like in the movie Rare Exports, how fucking isolated and depressing was that fucking part of the world? I mean, just the shit that those people have to endure on a daily basis, you know? I mean, you don't really think about your own existence until you're watching it from some other part of the world, and you're sitting there going, "You fucking people live like this." Obviously, look how they shot the movie.
And look at the Fang. I mean, how much does that whole environment that they're in play into just how miserable it is?
Isolation leads to desperation. You know, I mean, you just get to the fucking point where you're just desperate for anything to break the monotony of just being withdrawn from everything. But it was, you know, by far not going to be anywhere close to the original.
We knew that.
But,
you crazy fool!
A good thing. But I do want to give one shout out to a Mr. Zach Green. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Zach Green, but he is the producer of a new short film. It's been getting a lot of attention on the movie circuit, I guess, film festivals is to say. He's a producer of a movie called Worm. And I met Mr. Green through Facebook. And I have to say, it's pretty fucking amazing when you can sit and meet somebody from another country and converse in a half hour's time and be exposed to something that 30 minutes earlier you didn't even know existed, you know. You knew of this person, you kind of knew what he did, but then now you're exposed to this whole other thing. He sent me a couple of clips of the movie, and I think it's only 20 minutes long. But
so it's finished up, it's done.
Yeah, it's actually doing the festivals, and it's actually gotten a lot of awards. If you go to my Facebook page, you know, just type in The Mighty Griff, or you can even go to the More Horror Than Horror on Facebook. Just scroll through my friends list and look for Zach Green, or type in Worm and it'll come up Worm movie. Click on it and watch the trailers. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to take the assumption and kind of guess what it's pretty much like a teacher who's at his fucking wit's end of all the fucking bullshit and shit that he has to take on a daily basis, and it's kind of like looks to be like a slow progression into insanity, you know, just to where he's just gotten to that edge, and now he's just he's been pushed to that edge so fast that it's just become like a slow roll over the hill. So Mr. Green is supposed to be sending me a copy to review, so as soon as I see it, I'll pass it along. About independent film and supporting independent film. If you support independent film today, then you will be standing in line for it tomorrow. Because if more people get out there and support independent filmmakers, then the more chances it has to be put in a fucking theater, and then you'll have to wait in line to see it rather than just being able to see it when it's freely available now. So looking forward to passing that along and helping Mr. Green promote. But he also does have another movie out, and I think it's called Consumption. And it actually got a lot of awards, too. So check him out. And
give Where's him. He out of?
Toronto, Canada.
Toronto.
That's where the Long Pig Boys are from.
But,
yep. Stop jibber-jabbering and start acting.
Did you watch that yet, Todd?
It.
Yeah. Y'all know you got the copy.
All right. I'll bring it to you. I just got it back from Griff. I'll see what you think. He didn't think much of it.
What?
Long Pigs.
It was all right. It just didn't capture me.
You crazy fool.
It was inventive. I thought the special effects were great. I just thought that it just... The flash wore out really quick. It didn't sustain
flash in a pan.
Didn't sustain the full hour and a half.
You crazy fool!
I think it would have been a lot better of a short movie than a long movie. But are we?
We're there.
We're done for another week.
Gotta all love right. it.
Check us out on Facebook, either under Tim McClaws or the Mighty Griff, or check out our Facebook homepage for the show at More Horror Than Horror. Check out the forums. Check out the other shows. Leave us some info.
And rock like a hurricane.
Email us. And we will watch the bad ones so you don't have to. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Toodaloo.
More Horror Than Horror with your host, the Mighty Griff.